Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Cockalorum, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Jurgen Klopp is angry and Spurs are just a pony. It's Monday the 30th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm CM Donaldson.
And I'm Vidusha Hantaraja.
Hi, everybody. It's Monday, and what a happy Monday it is. Peter, you're looking radiant, brother.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I got my Christmas jumper on. I'm feeling like Christmassy. I'm going to put the Christmas tree up later on.
Clever girl. Vish, how the dickens are you?
I'm very well. Very well, yeah. My mentions got a bit clogged on Friday.
Did they?
People congratulating me for my win over you, which was a bit annoying because I was trying to forget about it and get on with my life.
Yes.
That's something that happened, yeah.
Like I say, I'm very proud of you to use me as inspiration and I've taught you how to win and I'm absolutely delighted.
Did you get any sleep on the weekend then? Or
I got an enormous amount of sleep because I knew my work has been done.
Okay.
As a true champion, you grow other champions and that's what I did.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think you put too much stock in that. To me, it was just a Friday.
Yeah.
Isn't that what M. Bison says in the Street Fighter?
What's that?
Film?
It's just a Friday.
He goes and talks to Chun-Li about him destroying her village and killing everyone in the village.
Yeah.
I think for you, that was the most important time of your life, but for me, it was just a Tuesday or something.
Yeah.
Evil.
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 Well, Vish has displayed evil. I like it. First minute you've mentioned it. You've been waiting since Friday, haven't you?
No, nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Was prepared.
Mm. It's nice for someone else to win for a change. Right, gentlemen, before we start the football ramblings, a brand new Ramble Meets is out today in celebration of Diego Maradona's life after his sad passing last week. Andy Brassel is joined by the acclaimed filmmaker and director of the Diego Maradona documentary, Asif Kapadia. Asif talks about Maradona's split personality, the fear and doubt he felt in Naples, and how he manipulated the media throughout his career. And he also recounts his own unique meetings with Maradona in Dubai, which is well worth hearing, let me tell you. So fantastic.
Please tell me the salt bears there.
Oh, blimey, that guy. Who is that guy? Why does he turn up every now and then? Yeah, it's a fantastic chat with a man who knew Diego Maradona's story better than your average. And to give it a listen, just head over to Football Ramble Presents now. Right, chaps, we're going to start with the FA Cup second round. All right.
Start with the first one, mate.
That's what it's been and done.
All right. Okay.
And we're waiting for the third.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
We're in between times. The wonderful story of eighth tier Marine scoring a 120th minute winner against Havant and Waterlooville, who are now Havant and Waterlooville National League South. So it would have been a story for them to get to the third round as well. But Marine are even lower than that, PT.
They haven't played in months, have they? They haven't played since the first
round.
Well,
yeah, they're not an elite club. So, yeah, they haven't played since they beat Colchester in the first round on the 7th of November.
It's the Jurgen Klopp dream.
It is.
One match a month.
But is it though? Because they were on TV.
Yeah, good point. Actually, yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Niall Cummins, the captain, got the goal. And he says, "I'm not going to lie. I closed my eyes and it hit me in the shoulder or my back."
It was a weird looper, wasn't it? What the hell is going on?
Maybe is that a shoulder blade then? He was fortunate. You're right. It kind of somebody sort of made sure on the line. You know, had already crossed. Vish, you're looking confused.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think
you're looking as confused as you did the other day when we were outside Buckingham Palace and you went, "What's that?"
That actually happened.
What? Why were you both outside Buckingham? But what are you guys planning? What are you up to?
He's been watching Netflix, and I went, "Look, you see, that's the actual place."
Is it real or not?
That bit's true.
Did you think that it was a Potemkin village? Just the front fashion.
He looked up and he went, "What's that?" And I looked at him and he went, "Oh, is that Buckingham Palace?" It's not a bloody new build, is it?
I know, that was really bad. My sense of direction is terrible, and you don't really walk through that part of London.
There's no reason to be there, is there? Yeah.
It's on the tourist trail.
Yeah.
So let me show you some things that you might not have seen before.
The reason I was confused in this moment was that I'd like to think that if you had your eyes closed, you could tell if someone was touching your head or your back.
Yeah, I do agree with your shoulder or your back. Well, I think it must be shoulder blade then, because he did say... shoulder or back. So maybe it's in that little spot where you're not quite sure. Where's the joint? Where is it meeting? Is it on the border of the back and shoulder? That's what I think he's made there. But yes, great for them. The manager, Neil Young, not that one, said, I don't need to say not that one, do
I? No, not really. No, the 75-year-old singer-songwriter Neil Young is not the manager. Is he married to Daryl Hannah?
I don't know, Peter. He said, "I went running on the pitch, which is not usually my style.
I've got a heart of gold," he said.
He said, "I'm usually quite calm."
Okay.
Yeah. But managers don't always run on the pitch when they win, though. I mean, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Six-nil 6-0 win.
They have to do a run over the other side and then come back again. Oh. I very much enjoyed all the people who were kind of like watching through the chain link fences.
Yeah.
Just kind of squished.
That was nice. Well, because it was one of those grounds where a lot of gardens seemed to back onto it.
Fantastic.
Which is good, yeah. Did you see their goalkeeper was seen popping down to the local co-op in full kit, coming back with some beers.
Trying to figure out what beers he'd bought. I'm thinking it might be Birra Moretti from the colour of the packaging, but I'm willing to be proved wrong.
Yeah. What would you get? You always get Kronenbourg in co-ops, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Heine's.
And Moretti, yeah. Uh-huh. I wondered if, I suppose not everywhere has Deliveroo or Uber Eats, but usually you can get beer in.
Mm. I have one of those big Polish, I think it's Polish. I'm a big Tisky guy, but there's Fax. It's this big kind of like export strength lager that's like it's like a tin of paint. It's brilliant.
I love it with a special brew. He's got loads of cans of special brew.
Like a tin of paint. It's brilliant.
Delicious paint. Paint, I call it.
Is Tisky good?
Tisky's good. Yeah, Tisky. I like my fizzy lager, and Tisky is a decent tipple.
Well, that's what I'll be trying this morning.
Yeah.
Well, that's the takeaway so far. But it was nice to see him in his full kit, of course. God bless that man. Yeah, also in the FA Cup second round, sixth tier, Chorley beat Peterborough, who are, of course, in League One, 2-1. Big win for them. They knocked out Wigan in round one. They're going very strong. Their club anthem, apparently, is Adele's Someone Like You. Well, they played this on Match of the Day 2 as well. It's an odd choice.
It's a difficult song to sing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think they've done
the quite... run's quite good. The performance that they put together after that match, I thought, was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, you would think that there would be some sort of reason why that was their song, Vish, but then
they're all
football...
heartbroken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They've all gone through recent divorces, breakups.
You've gone through, lads. You sing that when you get knocked out, you know.
They're all collectively auditioning for Britain's Got Talent.
I don't know. The mind boggles. Also, there was an upset as well. Stevenage Borough of League One beat Hull City on penalties.
Mm.
Two saves from on loan goalkeeper, Chelsea goalkeeper Jamie Cumming.
He did that a couple of years ago for the Champions League semi-finals, not the full one.
Yes.
The Youth Champions League,
which exists. I think we would remember that. Incredible.
Mm.
Incredible. Will he go back to his parent club? We don't know, because they are keeping clean sheets, aren't they, Peter?
I think they're all right.
But yes, FA Cup second round, lovely stuff there. We're looking forward to the third round, of course, at the start of January. Let's move on then to the Premier League. It was Chelsea 0, Spurs 0. We are not even in the race, so we are not a horse. We are just a pony. Come on! He's come back. He's fully back, Mitch. We've got it. This is it. Mourinho has his eyes on the title. Now, he did say this, of course, famously to Chelsea, and I think they won the title the following season.
Right.
So is this Mourinho saying, no, no, we, you know, he's planning on top four finish, you know, obviously do as well as they can. But this is Mourinho saying next season's the season when they can spend a bit more, perhaps, in the summer when they've got Champions League football, perhaps. What are you thinking? What are you thinking, Pete Donaldson?
Well, it's not up to him, is it?
Oh, but it is, Peter. It will be up to Mourinho.
The things that Jose Mourinho says,
yes,
and the way his team perform, very different things sometimes. So he can talk all he likes about whether they are title contenders. Mm-hmm. Spurs look like title contenders.
This is the best chance they've had in the Premier League era.
Yes. Well, there was that season, of course, when Leicester won it, and they.
But they were never top, were they?
Yeah, I can't quite remember, but it was that they had a chance then, of course, and it ultimately went down to Leicester versus Spurs for the title. Arsenal sort of fade away, even though Spurs finished third.
And this league is a nonsense this season as well.
Oh yeah,
which is all the more reason why it's the best chance. This league is a nonsense, and they're the only side who haven't conceded double figures so far. I think
they are just a pony, though. Mm. Does a pony ever win the Grand National?
No, but is a pony allowed to enter the Grand National?
Probably not.
No. Isn't it be like, like a child in the 100-metre sprint?
Well, if the child's quick enough, then.
Does the Grand National have, like, ponies for, like, mascots coming out holding, like, a...
holding
the... Yes! Yes! Yes, Fish! Ponies holding the horse's hand as they walk out, and then the pony's really nervous and all goes, don't worry.
Yeah.
And then
takes its saddle off. Yeah. I don't know whatever they have.
And then they pretend to like do the race, and everyone in the crowd goes, whoa, across the line. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Ross Turnbull's little pony.
Mm. Ah, yeah. Not to hear his name. Is Hilario still knocking around? Oh, dear. Yeah. So Mourinho said, you see the difference. Joe Rodden was playing for Swansea. Thiago Silva has been and is still one of the best centre backs in the world.
Is a difference. I mean, yeah. Trevor Swansea now he's playing for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, Thiago Silva is a bit older, of course. But he also said Mourinho when he's saying, "Oh, we're just a pony." He said, "But Chelsea, they are one of the biggest contenders." Again, making this point that they got at Stamford Bridge a bit more special. I mean, Spurs' record at Stamford Bridge is awful. Obviously, since that win in 1990, they've won once there. I think the commentator was saying in 34 matches.
Oh, they got beat twice last season. They did. This is an improvement.
Yeah. Well, 2018, they of course won there, which was the first time I think since 1990. I'm not really too sure what to think about these kind of records, because you think, well, obviously it's a very different crop of players now to what it was through the 90s, through most of this. Does it really matter? But then when you look at the statistics, you sort of think, well, there is something in this, even though they did win there in 2018.
Marcus, in 2020, the only statistic that matters is it's not the goals scored, no. It's the expected goals. That's all anybody is talking about, the expected goals.
Well, what was the expected goals that Spurs had in this match then?
It was zero.
Yeah, in the second half it was zero. They weren't expected to get anything, which is perhaps why Lampard was slightly punchy when the interviewer, the reporter, said to him after, you know, well, neither time could really get on top. And he, well, one team did get on top, you know.
Yeah.
We were the better side.
One team had 60% of the ball.
Yeah. And a few more chances. I mean, Chelsea will go away with that thinking they should have won, despite Mourinho saying, I'm really happy that my players are annoyed that we only got a point. But Chelsea did edge it in terms of chances and expected goals.
Mourinho is so smart. And I'm not going to say it winding up people, because I don't think Lampard's particularly wound up by him.
Well, he knows how he
But also the fact that Mourinho knows how important it is to go first in those press conferences. So he knows whatever he says will be essentially used as a crux of the next manager's press conference. Mm-hmm. So Lampard, in a few situations, has been asked about things Mourinho has said 5 minutes earlier. Mm-hmm. So he's been like, well, I mean, what do you want me to say to that? It's a bit like me going, oh, have you heard what Pete's been saying about you?
No, I have, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty constant.
Well, he scores on the walls, doesn't he? Yeah. And yeah, like, I think, you know, that to me on Sunday was like those mid-late 2000 games where the top two meet quite early in the season, and it's a bit like in a, you know, a superhero film where the hero and the villain meet like 45 minutes in. You're like, nothing's going to get sorted here.
No.
They're going to keep their powder dry for at least another hour before anything worthwhile comes of this. And it was a little bit like that. They'll both take their point. They'll meet again later on in the season, and they'll, you know, come February, they can actually start the proper trash talking. Now they're all just trying to save face and, you know, I was so disappointed we got a point. you know, we've kept on a run. We haven't conceded in two games. So bad. Yeah.
It's not great. I mean, but I mean, it is quite impressive in one sense when two sides go out not to lose.
It was,
and they get a clean sheet.
Yeah, and it was quite a good game to watch. I quite enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah,
you?
I quite enjoyed it. And like, and two of my favourite footballers, Son and Kane, were completely nullified in that match. Yeah, how many teams have managed to kind of just railroad?
You're institutionalised by Steve Bruce, aren't you? Now? No attacking intent, you know, playing, making sure.
I don't want to see expected goals. Don't want to see them. Don't expect them. Don't want them.
Yeah. Were you annoyed when Newcastle got those two late goals against Palace?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, really
put my back up to you.
Damn it all.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you don't have expected goals, you won't. If you, well, if you do have expected goals, if you expect goals, then you won't be surprised, will you?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that's a great thing about being a pessimist. You're never disappointed, isn't it, Peter? But seriously, though, you know, there is something about setting up a side and thinking, right, today we are not going to lose. Mm. And that's clearly what Mourinho did. And you would say Lampard did that as well, to an extent. Obviously, as I say, Chelsea probably edged it in terms of chances and whatnot. But they did, that was the case, isn't it? Chelsea know that with, you know what Mourinho's like, it's kind of like, do not lose games in which you could lose to a rival when you're going away from home, even though there's no fans, but there's still that kind of psychological edge, I suppose. You put away your home games, you put away the teams that are lesser than you, if you see what I mean. So to go there and not lose is a huge sort of thing, and it's a big strategy of his.
Yeah, and I think Spurs fans, by and large, or certainly the Spurs fans I talked to last night, by and large, were very happy with that. I think the like one of my mates was saying that he's not totally enamoured with how they set up yesterday, but he was actually quite proud of the fact that a Spurs team, given his years of following them, were able to go and do that, to execute such a solid plan and really stick to it and stifle the best attacking team in the league.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you can get a bit blindsided. You can think, well, hang on a minute, you know, it's a televised game at a prime slot on a Sunday, and you think, well, hang on, this is a load of nonsense. But you're right, it's a long old season. If you really want to win the league or certainly challenge, those are the games that you've sometimes you do have to play like that a little bit. I mean, it's interesting what Eric Dyer said. I think it was before the game, actually, but he said, you know, I'd say this team is probably more pragmatic. I think we still possess a lot of the qualities we had under Maurizio Pochettino. We're all a bit older and mature. But he said, Mourinho is definitely putting his stamp on the club, on the team and the players. He wants us to be a representation of himself. Tough is one of the words I'd use to describe him and this team.
Oh,
come on, this big talk from Eric.
He's like a big Rita Ora. Kicking the shit out of the city.
No, Rita Ora is like delicately dancing over the city in that advert.
Or is there footage? Only goes for 30 seconds, that's all I'm saying.
Is there extra
footage?
She
boots the shit out the gherkin.
Are there outtakes that I haven't seen?
It's like Power Rangers, mate. It's horrible. Like Mothra.
Dear. Speaking of a bit more about Chelsea, though, Tammy Abraham obviously had a couple of efforts, but it's impressive-ish that he's starting, because people were concerned, well, for him, that Werner was going to come in and Abraham, who was here, all those loan spells away. And
Giroud
so
will get minutes.
There's Giroud again, who, you know, he missed a chance himself towards the end. But Abraham, though, I mean, obviously he was their top scorer last season, 18 goals in all competitions. He's done well to get back in this side, because he didn't start the season too well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was worried, actually, that he'd be one of the players that, after there was all that talk last season of giving youngsters a chance and, you know, bring these people through, suddenly they spend some money and they're like, all right, see you later, Tammy and Mason. But it absolutely hasn't been the case. And Tammy Abraham, his game, I think we're sometimes too quick to pigeonhole younger players. I say sometimes we. I mean, really.
Yeah, don't drag Pete and I.
Yes.
these are the expected opinions.
Mine's like a sports hall. I just invite the players in and go, you got a lot of room, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't kick that, that's a medicine ball. I wonder actually if what helped us a little bit is the fact that all the games had been on TV. Whereas before, sometimes we could rely too much on the anecdotal evidence of when we would sit down to watch a Chelsea game, or, for example, when I would cover a Chelsea game. But now you see them, you know, you see every game, it's all available to you, and you see the way he's able to do so many different things, whether he's facing the goal, with his back to goal. He's really, I can only describe him as really swish on the ball. Like, he's really, really efficient touch. Remember, like, Torres at his peak?
Yeah.
When he wouldn't need to take too many touches to do certain things. He doesn't dawdle. He's a really good player to watch. And sometimes you can get distracted because he's so tall and you treat him like a as you would a big, you know, tall player. But he's
did he disrespect Reece James when he put those crosses in and he didn't fully get on the end of them?
Don't know. I wouldn't like to say.
they were lovely balls in.
They were, yeah.
He'd be disappointed with himself that he maybe didn't do a little bit better. But, you know, he's still learning and whatnot. You mentioned Mason Mount there. Roy Keane was full of praise for Mason Mount. He said, I like everything about him. Apparently there's critics on social media. I don't follow social media, thank God, but I really like the look of him. Do you follow social media, Peter?
I don't follow a lot of social media, but I do like the look of Mason Mount. So we're very much two peas in a pod, me and Keane.
Yeah, but you have the option of being followed on social media.
Exactly, yeah.
And in real life, presumably. You do like to drop your hanky in that.
It's an interesting thing to say, isn't it?
What, Keane or me?
Keane or you. Both of you, really.
Keane's the type of person who would say, I don't internet.
Yeah. Indeed. So, 0-0 there.
Speaking of Giroud, actually, there's rooms that he might go on to Spurs. What? Spurs are interested.
Well,
what's that about?
I think that would be a brilliant signing for Spurs. He's absolutely
but not for Giroud.
No, but not for Chelsea. Why would you want to strengthen a rival?
Well, there
like
is
that.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose
why is he going to another London club? Why has he got such little kind of ambition? I just really like London.
It's not a lack of ambition, is it?
Well,
just talk about a bloody World Cup winner.
Who?
Giroud.
Are they in London?
No,
yes, yeah, it's true, actually. He does seem to have the living habits of someone who's just graduated from Bristol University. Spent some time in North London, went out west, wants to go back to North London.
Flat share. I'm not going south of the river, he says.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Crystal Palace in 2 years' time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's definitely. But he's concerned, isn't he, that you might not get into the Euros, the French side for the Euros, because of the lack of minutes. But you're going
to
West Ham, come on.
West Ham.
Do you not think France's selection, though, not least with what they've done with Pogba, that kind of doesn't really matter.
I was about to say, Olivia, you're fine where you are.
I think it's the last time he's proved everything.
Yeah, no,
international level.
But I mean, Spurs are looking for a replacement, surely, for Fernando Llorente, and he gets the bell, doesn't he?
But do you not think he'd be brilliant in that side?
Yeah.
You know, he'd be doing a lot of the hold-up play that Kane does. But I just can't see why Chelsea would even think of doing that.
Yeah, but as Giroud as well, but he'd be very much second fiddle to Kane.
Yeah, is he going to get any minutes there?
Well, with Kane's injuries, and I think Mourinho is concerned that he would want Kane for the sort of the bigger, more important games. I think he probably would, because they should go on a Europa League run with the squad they have, with Joe Hart keeping net in that competition and so on. But there we are. We shall see, gentlemen. Mention for West Brom getting their first win of the season against poor old Sheffield United. Bit fortunate with Sheffield United's poor finishing.
There were better finishes in this game that weren't actually the goal, if that makes any sense.
I know. Well, what were the expected goals for Sheffield United there?
3.12.
There you go.
They had 22 shots on goal.
It's madness. Jeez. 39 shots in this one. I mean, it's Leeds United-esque, isn't it? They weren't even playing.
Was the keeper just anticipating a deflection and he didn't really commit? Because I just thought, I know it was a crowd of players, but I was just like, it was just a bit underwhelmed, to be honest.
Well, Bilic was correct when he said this was the game. There are enough games after this one, but this was very important, crucial for both teams to win the game. And he was absolutely right. You know, West Brom, they desperately needed to win that. I mean, they lost against Fulham, of course, when they went to Craven Cottage, and that would have been, that's quite a damning result for them. But now they're out the relegation zone for the first time in a little while, or if the first time this season, perhaps. And it's a huge one. I mean, a clean sheet's pleasing, although, you know, great performance from their goalkeeper. Was it Johnston in goal? But Sheffield United, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, do they need to have a couple more subs on the bench? That's all I'm saying. To be able to bring on. Is that what he's...
Wilder?
He's sitting down and going, I will not budge on this. I don't care. I will get relegated. Man, of course, if they got relegated, they go to the Championship. Well, you can make five subs.
Yeah, but he'd probably choose not to, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Is that the game here? You got relegated. Yeah, we can make five subs, you mug.
It's weird, isn't it? Even just watching the highlights of that game, you're like, they've got to score one of them. I reckon if you rewatched them, you'd be like, one of these has got to go in.
Yeah.
But Bollock's Miss was just... Bollock's Miss sounds like something like a side quest on an RPG. It does, yeah. You must travel to Bollock's Miss. To pick up a sword. But that was.
If you take your head out of your hands at any point, you will be cursed. Yeah, I know what you mean. What about Gallagher's goal, Peter? Bit of a shinner?
Yeah, I didn't rate it.
So that was... you don't like expected goals. You don't like goals either. Get rid of this one.
It was a bit of a shinner, but then such control with the shin vision. Yeah. It's quite magnificent, really.
No, I mean, I'm kind of with Pete on this because I heard about the goal and then I saw it and I thought, don't lie to me.
Yeah.
Don't lie to me and say an effort from outside the box and build my hopes up.
Yeah.
It's a bit like...
Wayne Rooney's bicycle kick against Manchester City.
Don't even bring that up in this company. You utter disgrace. It's a bit like, you know, those videos of, you know, I don't know why American parents do this, but you know, when they get like an Xbox box, but in it is like a rubbish toy, not an Xbox.
What American parents do that?
They do it, so they film it and they send it to Ellen or some twat like that. And...
She's confirmed twat, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, they film it and then their kids get really upset and then they send it in and they're like, oh, look at these kids, look at these morons I've raised.
Yeah. So that's the equivalent of Gallagher's goal, is it?
Well, it was sold to me like that. I was a child in tears when I opened that box.
Dirty little trickler.
Dirty little trickler.
The keeper should have saved.
Well, that's a good...
He's been an excellent player for them and is an excellent player. We should say that.
But he's a dirty little trickler.
He's a dirty little trickler.
Excellent stuff. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's Amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Were they shouting there?
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, I should say. Yeah, just in case you've forgotten where you are. He's called him... What
Rob Holding was shouting?
Yeah.
He's built like a brick shithouse. How has he gone down like that?
Yes, so that's right.
Foul was given against him.
Marvellous, ladies and gentlemen. Before we carry on the Premier League chat, Betway 4 to score update. So let's see how we got on in Betway's 4 to score this weekend. Entry to Betway's 4 to score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Of course, further T's and C's apply. Gentlemen, I went for Timo Werner in Chelsea versus Tottenham. Of course, that was wrong. If it wasn't for pesky VAR, I would have been right. I was like, yes, I've got one. Oh, no. In game two was Arsenal versus Wolves. Kate picked Raul Jimenez, of course, got that awful, awful injury.
Oh, that fucking noise, man.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely sickening. As we understand it, though, I think he's all right in hospital and so on. So
I think has he having an operation on his skull, I think?
Yeah, he's had an operation on a fractured skull.
Flipping heck. Well, I hope obviously there's nothing too serious. But anyway, the result was Pedro, so Kate was incorrect there. Tonight, Leicester City play Fulham, so we will see if Vish got that correct. He picked Jamie Vardy, and then Luke picked Ollie Watkins in West Ham versus Aston Villa. So we'll be back with another round of Betway's Four to Score on the preview show this Friday. All right, gentlemen, let's have some emails. Just email show.
Right, I've got one from Ross Mantle here. Good evening. After listening to Friday's episode, I had a terrifying flashback of the time I came face to face with Joe Hart on the cricket pitch.
Oh, hello.
I'll try and set the scene. I'm unsure of the exact year. Well, it's not a great start, is it?
I think it happened.
But it is between 2000 and 2003. It was a beautiful summer's afternoon and Ludlow School's cricket team turned up to play Meole Brace School in Shrewsbury. This was a case of the little South Shropshire town heading north to the big Shropshire town. Presumably that's all relative.
Yeah, yeah.
After the toss, we were put into bat by the home team. We thought this was strange. It was bright sunshine with no clouds in the sky, which, by the way, for you two, is pristine batting conditions.
Right, okay. Well,
we didn't think it was rain and hail, did we?
No clouds being the key thing here. Yeah. However, we soon realised why. Our opening batsman faced up against a tall blonde left-armer opening the bowling by the name of Joe Hart. When the first ball was bowled, which went whistling past the outside edge of our opening batter, I knew we were in trouble. It was cleaned up next ball, meaning I was in next. I walked to the wicket apprehensive, took my guard and got ready to face the onslaught. The first ball I faced, I didn't see. But luckily enough for me, the wicketkeeper didn't manage to fully stop the ball, so he called through for a run, and I managed to get off strike.
That's good. You don't want a duck.
No.
And it was close to a diamond duck.
Well, no, he would still be on a duck, but he wouldn't be a diamond duck. Yeah,
the diamond duck is the most humiliating thing in sport. Golden duck's bad.
There's something called a platinum duck where you can get run out without... where you get out without facing a ball, which is when you get run out when you haven't been on strike.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's
bad.
Annoying.
Especially when you pay your 15 quid match fee.
Yeah.
As has happened to me.
A platinum duck, that's quite something.
The next ball, the opening batsman was dismissed as well, and I soon had to face Joe again.
He's ripping through them.
No, yeah. He steamed in and bowled me as well. The humiliation continued, and we were bowled out for less than 20.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was knocked off in swift fashion by the opposition's opening batsman. Shocker.
Blimey.
That is grim. What? Yeah, that is really grim.
Maybe Joe Hart should go back to playing cricket.
Well,
South Africa.
He was very, very close to it. I think someone's done a piece today on the cricketer actually speaking to people he used to play with. He was in the Worcestershire Academy, mm-hmm. very talented. And the people he played with, I know a couple of people he played with who are now pros, mm-hmm. and they say he was serious business. He's just, you know, football plays a little bit more than county cricket.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
In my limited connection with cricket, I would say that he's got a very crickety accent.
Would that be fair? You?
Yeah. In my mind, cricketers all talk a bit like this. I don't know why. English cricketers.
Hello,
I'm going to throw this ball at the stumps.
So you're, I think Yorkshire, English cricketers... is that what you're thinking?
Say again?
Like the Yorkshire area?
Yeah, probably. That's probably because it's a bit of a hotbed, isn't it?
You're thinking of what's his name? Jeffrey Boycott. That's what you're thinking about.
Yes.
As you often do, sadly.
I just like to be offensive to other people's loves. Great loves.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Expected love.
How much expected love do you think into a Saturday night?
I need more context.
I need more expected love.
Is Pete Donaldson wearing that jumper, having drunk as much as he has? Oh, the expectations are high. Perhaps a clean sheet, though. Southampton against Manchester United. It was a great win for Manchester United in the end. Edison Cavani was at the centre of it. We need to sort of mention, obviously, what happened on social media. So he could face trouble for this Vish, of course, because he used the word, he said thanks Negrito, which the word in itself is not offensive, which is why I would say the word. If it was a sort of obviously a racial slur, then that you wouldn't say that. Now I personally know someone in Argentina, not in Uruguay, who their family call that person that name. And it is affectionate, like it really isn't offensive. Of course, though, when you call individuals that, and if you know them, you had the relationship in the comfort of your own home, you can, you know, no one I don't think is going to have a go at you for using that word. But he should be aware of the wider context when saying that on social media, especially in the current climate and so on, where we're being more, you know, there's more awareness being raised, all that kind
I think,
of stuff.
I think if you're in a situation where, I think he should know not use that word.
Yeah.
And I think in 2020, not many people should be using that word, whether affectionately or not. There's a reason why there was a chocolate bar with that name changed to, I think, Nito, a shortening of it. Mm-hmm. And weirdly had a white kid with an afro on the front of it. Mm-hmm. Like it is clearly affectionate, or people see it as affectionate
in the South American
South American names are usually like it's fatty or skinny or, mm-hmm. or fat or so they're very descriptive, but it's 2020 and we are a world.
Yep.
We've all got to live together and everyone can hear what everyone else is saying. Mm-hmm. So that's probably one of those things that he may not regard as being very offensive. But it is offensive.
I mean, he obviously deleted the post, but if he does get a ban, you know...
He'll deserve it.
That's the thing, isn't it? There will be a temptation from some in certain quarters to talk of this like it's political correctness gone wrong, gone mad even, or gone whatever, because it's all bullshit.
Sure.
But, you know, what Pete says is absolutely right. Whether or not he has that relationship with that person anyway, that doesn't justify using it in a public space.
Well, that's the difference, isn't it? I think when people say, yeah, but a friend of mine, I call it, it's okay, fine. Well, you're set up with your individual friend again. That's sort of your business, if you see what I mean. But when you bring it to a public space, you know.
I think what's unhelpful when you see that word in a newspaper. I think we were talking about it before we came to the studio. There's the screenshot of the Sun, I think it is, have blanked out everything after the N, which looks a lot.
It really does look a lot stronger than
it is, but. It's still offensive. Yeah. It's still a word that shouldn't be used.
I don't think that particular action suggests what Cavani's views are on certain things. I just think it is a little bit of a slip. However, you know, even if you do that, then you could face punishment. It's a very different situation to some of the, well, one example in particular that people are comparing it with, and you think it isn't the same.
People would be wise to actually look. I mean, the FA transcript of the, you're obviously talking about the Luis Suarez thing. The FA transcript is readily available on the internet. You just have to type into Google and you can read it, and you can read the actual reasons why. Yes. He was pulled up and
repeatedly saying that word in a certain way to Patrice Evra is not the same as calling a friend of yours a sort of an affectionate term, even though we've talked about that now.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I do think it's important to push people towards that if they think these two are any way related. And also the idea that, like, oh, well, he didn't get away with it, so why should he? Just, like, be wise to making any kind of assertion like that.
Yeah, so we shall see what happens with Cavani with regards to punishment and so on and so forth. And obviously it's a shame because of the sort of societal content and all that kind of stuff as we've talked about. But it's also a shame because from his point of view, if you see what I mean, he scored two goals and did really well for Manchester United. It was crucial in a victory, you know, where they were 2-0 down. Vish, you were at the game, of course, watching your beloved Manchester United as a neutral. And it was an impressive comeback.
Yeah, it was actually. It should be said, though, that Southampton, in taking their two-goal lead, were deserving of it, but didn't actually play that well. Both sides were pretty skittish in the first 45 minutes, and Southampton, I've seen them play much better. And I wondered, actually, right, whether going into 2-0, they'll just wise up a bit in the second half. And then they kind of just fell away, and a lot of that was because of Cavani, really.
Mm-hmm. And they were knackered.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's what I think Jermaine Genius was suggesting on Match of the Day 2, that they were running so much and putting so much effort in that they tired a bit in the second half. But was it mere Cavani's mere presence that they just got knackered?
Maybe it was. Maybe it was his chiselled cheekbones that, you know, got them all flustered. But the way I put it in, I wrote a piece on his performance specifically this morning, or rather it's out this morning, and I... when he came on, I referenced it as like, you know, when you finally get that TV in your living room so you know which way your furniture should be pointing. Like, he gave everyone a bit more focus. Yeah. Like, Bruno Fernandes had quite a bad game until he came on. And suddenly even just knowing where to be, where to stand, where to make those runs, because he does it for you and you feel inclined to, even when he, so for example, Fernandes' goal, Cavani pulls out to the right and helps out Aaron Wan-Bissaka to rectify a situation on the right, which where United offered no threat at all in the first half. And that created the space in the middle that Fernandes walked into when he eventually received that cross and scored. Rashford was a lot more purposeful as well. And yeah, everything just seemed to come together. And
a player like Cavani can do that. He's wise. He knows his stuff.
He just says, lads, 100%, get in the fucking box. We've got to get in the net. Get in the box.
But also, he's one of those players who is happy to make runs for nothing.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the gratification of like, oh, you haven't passed me the ball. I think he's always had that maturity. And so Andy Cole, who was punting for, I'm not sure who actually, sorry, but he said that Cavani reminded him of Solskjaer, and it was put to Solskjaer in the post-match press conference. And Solskjaer disagreed entirely. And he said, actually, he reminds him of Andy Cole, because Andy Cole would always make those
That's
runs.
Nice, isn't it? No, he's you.
and the one thing it reminded me of is, Marcus, you'll know a bit about this, that Cavani had the same criticism of Andy Cole used to have, in that it was said of him that he needed 5 chances to score a goal.
Yes.
And it's funny that I looked up the stats last night, and Cavani's had 3 shots on target in the Premier League and scored all 3 of them.
There you are, you see. And his goal scoring record at PSG was quite something. I mean, I understand that he's always going to get chances there, but he's still got to put them away.
That header that he did just before his goal, was just like, it was rising. I can't stop watching it. It's beautiful. Like, it just went past the post. If that went in, that would have been one of my favourite goals this season. It was great.
Well, it shows you he scores all types of goals.
And not in that match.
Well, he can do. But yeah, very impressive from Cavani. And as you say, Vish, it could be just what Manchester United need. Southampton themselves, it will be disappointing because they threw away a lead. I mean, James Ward-Prowse is looking good, isn't he? Another free kick, although David De Gea would be a bit disappointed. Roy Keane was very disappointed at him. And then, of course, whipping the free kick in. I mean, trumping old David Beckham. Euros and that. Fish. Get back to a 4-4-2, Gareth.
I think Beckham is the only player with more direct free kicks in the Premier League than
Englishman.
Ward-Prowse.
Englishman.
Oh, is it Englishman?
I believe so.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I just like the improvement in corners, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, which he was brilliant at.
Yeah.
Would you have him in? Would you start him for England?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You could have him in the quarterback role, couldn't you?
No, you're talking.
That worked for Beckham, didn't it?
Yeah, I think Calvin Phillips has got that role.
You could have 2 quarterbacks.
We could.
Just hitting the ball to each other.
We'll call them a halfback. You know. I think that he could be considered an option. I think the system that Southgate's playing, not sure. He'd probably be in the centre of the 4. I mean, I suppose if they're playing a 4 at Southampton, it maybe bodes well for him. So yeah.
It's quite a unique 4 for Southampton.
It is.
Because their wide players come in, basically.
True. I think he could be in the squad, I think, as an option there.
We should also say that he's not just set pieces. You know, he's quite a niggly little player.
Yeah.
Like he puts himself about and he knows how to foul people.
That was always the story, wasn't it? It was like he's an absolute boss in the field. He absolutely kicks the shit out of people. And now he's this cultured fucking Beckham. I said, where's this come from? Imagine Beckham, I'd bite him. He
certainly did, yeah.
He said Beckham, I'd bite him.
Yeah. I would bite him.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah. I would as well.
With wanton abandon.
What a lovely treat.
Where would you bite him?
I immediately thought of the shoulder.
Back of the knee.
Back of the knee?
Oh, it'd just be...
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like back of the knee, you wouldn't get in the centre of the man, would you?
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking of the shoulder, because you'd be quite close to his beautiful face.
Maybe underneath the ribs, at the back, like a shark. Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Cool.
Hasenhüttl was interesting after the game when he said about Manchester United, you can hear them celebrating in their dressing room. You know how tough an opponent you have been, because they were celebrating like they won the Premier League.
I don't... why do people insist on being celebration police?
I think...
they scored a winner in the 92nd minute when they were 2-0 down at half-time. Can I understand? They'd be utter knobs if they didn't celebrate.
Yeah, but I think...
On to the next one.
Yeah, but do you not think he's...
Job done.
He's deflecting on the fact that they lost in a lead, and he's saying, well, it just shows how good we are.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, that's what old Hasenhüttl is doing. but yes, good win for Manchester United, you have to say. They've got character, they came back, and Solskjaer rides again. My goodness, doesn't he just? Brighton got a good point at home to Liverpool, of course. Diogo Jota scored. He will do that. Mm. Salah and Mane, both of their goals were ruled out. And it was all about the penalties, though, wasn't it? Well, let's start with the one that was missed by Morpay. Did you see how many times he gave the eyes to go the other way? If you watch that again, he looks about three or four times. And I remember thinking, oh, he's obviously going to go that way because he's made it so obvious to Alisson. But then he takes it and you think, oh, he actually did the hard bit.
Yeah.
But he put it wide, Peter.
Oh, nuts.
He was too busy focused on the other side that he forgot that you've got to put the ball inside.
Put the ball in the net, yeah. He took the ball off Minamino at one point and puts Conley away. Mm-hmm. And he should have buried that. It was such a poor bit of work.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, I mean, obviously Liverpool went 1-0 up, and then they got a penalty in the last minutes, of course, did Brighton. Was it a penalty, Vish?
I might be mad at it. Like, he did kick him.
You can see why it's given. Yeah. I mean, then people pull up that one. Was it West Ham versus Liverpool where Salah is fouled and it wasn't given? I mean, this is the thing with VAR. There is no black and white decisions. It is open to interpretation,
and now people are blaming time for this somehow.
Yeah,
they're sort of saying, "Oh, we're watching these at half speed, and football isn't played at half speed." I'm going, well, what are you, Carlo Rovelli on the speedy sofa to discuss quantum mechanics? Like, what? Why are we against time now? Why? Like, it's a binary decision. It was either wrong or it was right at whatever speed it was played at. I don't understand that part of it, aspect of complaining about VAR.
But when you say it's a binary decision, though, I see what you mean. It's either a penalty or it isn't, but it's open to interpretation, because I think Oliver Kay was tweeting about, you know, in about rugby sometimes. Now, I didn't see the particular decision he was tweeting about in the grand final, but in a sport like rugby, it's the ball, does it cross the line or does it not? I mean, we spoke about this when VAR, of course, has been muted, and we have goal line technology that works really well. But for offside, well, we seem to have come to a sort of conclusion of, is any part of the body or whatever the rule is, I can't even remember, but okay, they're offside, which is very frustrating, but you sort of know where you stand with it, even though it's millimetres and the tightest of margins. Whereas with penalties, it will always be open to interpretation. And I understand the frustration with the consistencies, but VAR was never going to mop up those inconsistencies. It was always just going to highlight them. So
slowed this game down.
Well, when Salah is brought down, I think it was the West Ham game when it was suggested, was that a foul and it wasn't given. Is it clear and obvious? Well, to me, that one, he kicks Welbeck, not that much, not enough to put him on the ground, but is that the definition of a foul?
I think the one thing that people forgot when they brought this in was the fact that just because it's the same person looking at the same incident, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come to the same decision just because he made, you know, relating to one he made earlier. And bear in mind that the act of calling the referee over to have a look at the screen immediately puts doubt in his mind anyway. So more often than not, as someone whose sole job is to abide by the laws of the game, they're going to immediately think, right, I haven't done my primary job here.
Yeah.
Therefore, I need to
change
the other way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it was a penalty or not, I think it was a penalty, but it is a fundamental issue with VAR in that we are still dealing with human beings. As you know, Oliver Kay tweeted, as you mentioned, that it's great when we have binary things that have essentially a yes or no answer, but this doesn't. And we're asking a lot of refs anyway. And we're just, I think we've put a target on their back with this kind of stuff. And it's not something that needs, you know, like I agree with Pete. Actually, sewing it down does help because you get to see whether it was a penalty or not. You know, like it's that argument itself is quite long. If you speed up, it looks like Benny Hill. Brilliant. You know? That's how relevant that argument is.
And if you rewind it, look, he actually helps him back up. You know, so,
do a ping pong.
But yeah, the it isn't the fact that the decision that he's making there. It's the fact that he has to go there anyway. And I think it's why the language is so important here. Because in rugby and cricket, because you can hear those open conversations, they've really worked on getting the language right.
Yep.
And as a result, when it's relayed to the referee or the standing umpire in cricket, there is less of that doubt put in their mind. It is purely about is there a reason why I can't award the try? This is a review for an LBW's decision. Mm-hmm. Show me what I need to be seen straight off the bat.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't happen in football.
It's all BT's fault, isn't it, Gordon?
Poor Des Kelly. Getting any fault. Oh, he gave as good as he could. The thing that gets me is, like, I think Klopp said, congratulations, hamstring, surprise. Ask Chris Wilder how we can avoid that about James Milner's hamstring injury. You play James Milner a lot, mate. Like, he's getting on and you're playing, you fuck him.
It's Klopp's fault, isn't it?
Jesus. Ride said, him if, like you own him.
If you were interviewing Klopp at the end and he said, well, it's all your fault, you'd have gone, well, it's your fault, actually. I think you're fine. You're a bloody disgrace.
I'm sorry. Liverpool are a very well-off club. And if you can't deal, if you can't put footballers on the field that can last 90 minutes...
Having a go at Liverpool not again. Here he goes.
On a Monday as well.
Click record on the cameras. I'm sorry. They are a very well off side, and a lot of the top sides who are playing in Europe have enough money, have enough finances, and have an academy that should be able to go with three substitute. It's not Chris Wilder's fault. He's probably having just as bad a time now anyway.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
With that amount of
money, they should have creamier hamstrings, shouldn't they?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We're getting into dangerous territory here, where we're being like those kind of faceless Dave 101010101 twats on Twitter who, you know, should assume that because players are, you know, paid a certain amount of money that they should be indestructible. I think I thought they both made really good points, and I thought they both lost their threads a little bit, but that's going to happen when you're talking passionately so soon after a game. But neither of them have any real power to do anything in the situation. Yeah, Klopp can go and lobby the other Premier League managers and probably should do it in a less public and more empathetic way. But at the same time, like, five subs wasn't going to allay any issues that we're having with hamstrings right now. It was the fact that the preseason was so small and no one who mattered actually gave a shit about it. And now we're in a situation where five subs won't solve anything, really, but it's a slightly more useful remedy now, in that we can't suddenly just stop for a couple of months and allow people to get up to scratch. Yeah. They're in a proper mess.
Is it going to make Nekamel Williams a better defender? Probably not.
Go on, say something else outrageous.
I'm allowed to talk about Liverpool without ever getting upset.
I know. I'm not getting upset at all.
Liverpool fans,
you know.
He looked them in the eye as well. He looked them in the eye.
You and Des Kelly. Come on! Oh, dear. Gentlemen, something sad that happened on the weekend. Papa Bouba Diop dying at the age of 42. Very sad. I mean, 42 is obviously no age. He was suffering from a long-term illness. But very, very sad indeed. And football fans in this country will perhaps remember him playing for a number of clubs. One would argue most notably for Portsmouth, 129 Premier League appearances. Of course, won the FA Cup in 2008 as well. I mean, I remember him scoring that goal, as some of us will. We've all seen the footage of scoring that goal for Senegal in the opening game of the World Cup in 2002 against France.
The first sewer rat to ever assist a goal.
Oh, that was, El Hadj Diouf assisted.
Splinter was the original sewer rat.
Yeah, he was. But the man affectionately known as the Wardrobe is sadly gone. So, but, you know, we have the memories, but a great shame. Gentlemen, to finish the show, an odd piece of news that Jolyon Lescott seems to have sort of come out of retirement, but he didn't actually know. Apparently he's joined Racing Murcia, the fourth tier Spanish club. They've announced he retired in 2017, and they offered him to play one game in their Copa del Rey first round match against La Liga side Levante in December. And Lescott said, there's been an offer for me to go and take part in a game in Spain, which I'm exploring. By next week, I should know whether it's genuine. When they've sort of announced the signing.
Yeah, they've got it on the Twitter.
It's a strange situation.
Has he signed up to one of those cameo things? And this is one of the tiers that someone's you got to go over there and play football too. Why?
Well, the caveat that he didn't realise what he was saying in Spanish, but he actually read out, I will play for them. This is legally binding, this message.
Did he accidentally tweet it like he did that car?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. That's what happened.
He accidentally signed a contract with his arse sort of thing when he accidentally tweeted his new car. Yeah, Racing are trying to, they said that they're trying to increase their profile.
Harry's Heroes. It's Harry's Heroes.
It is Harry's Heroes. We're trying to increase our profile. Who do we need to get in? Jolyon Lescott.
Why didn't Manchester United do that with Jadon Sancho? Well, we signed him.
Yeah, got him.
That's all good. Yeah. Everything's fine.
But why are they? Why Lescott? Why is Lescott some sort of world ambassador or something that we're unaware of? I mean, Samuel Eto'o was linked.
You make
as
it
well.
Sound like a soccer aid.
Well, yeah. That's what I mean. But they're trying to increase their profile. Is Jonny Lescott the man to do that? Exactly.
Will Woody Harrelson play?
I hope so. Maybe he could answer the call.
Will Ferrell played a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Samuel Eto'o was linked, and I thought that's a bit more like it.
That's a bit more like it.
Yeah. How old's Samuel Eto'o now, though?
I don't know, but you guarantee he's played more football since 2017 than Jonny Lescott. Samuel Eto'o will always be playing football wherever you see him. He'll be on a football pitch somewhere in the world. Professional, semi pro, kickabout, you name it, he's there. He's there, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we look forward to that. Want Lescott to come out of retirement just for one last job for a Spanish fourth-tier side. Excellent stuff. Right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. On tomorrow's show, Jules, Luke and Andy. Until then, thank you very much for Tushin Hantaraja.
Thank you very much, Marcus Speller.
Thank you very much, Peter Donaldson.
Goodbye.
And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.